It's a lovely winter wonderland here in Southie. And it looks just beautiful. I mean, it's not too much snow. Just, you know, the fact that it's all over my bench, that kind of sucks. Thanks a lot, Mother Nature. Right, you know, tonight, when I should be home watching the Bruins game, I'm out here instead. Chilling. I just want to say this is going to be a little bit personal of an episode today. So for those who do know me from growing up, my real name is Melvin, and 7 years ago today, well, let me rewind further than that. 7 years ago, some change, I was in the lowest point of my life where I was in, I was doing hard drugs and doing some heavy drinking as a kid. I'm 24, so you do the math. And I receive a phone call on September 1st of 2014, and it's my uncle. And I'm gonna explain a little bit about my uncle real quick. My uncle is the reason why I've never given up on anything, whether it was school, women, and baseball. I was terrible at baseball. Hell, I couldn't even get a base hit. I would strike out the entire time, to the point where the coach would feel bad for me. This wasn't, you know, 7 years ago, but this is long before that, because my uncle obviously has known me long before that. But he's known me since I was a baby, and he met me the second time when I started playing baseball at 6 years old, and I told him I was going to quit. My bad. I'm sorry. I lied. I wasn't 6 years old when I said I was going to quit. I was 11 years old, 11 or 12 when I was going to quit. And he told me, he said, "Do you play catch? You know, like, do you go to practice?" I go, "Yeah." He goes, "Okay. Do you drop the ball when they hit you fly balls or hit you grounders?" I said, "Yeah, I drop the ball all the time." "Okay. In batting practice, were you able to hit the ball?" I said, "No." It got to the point where my coach couldn't throw me overhand. He had to throw me underhand. "Okay." And he's like picturing that in his head. He had his eyes closed, and he said, "You did great out there." And I'm like, "What are you talking about? I did terrible." "No. You did great out there." The reason why I said that, it really didn't hit me until later on that day. He was trying to say, I never gave up, and I didn't. So what did I end up doing? I ended up going back. Didn't get as many hits as I expected. Didn't catch as many fly balls or ground balls that I expected. but I kept playing, and I ended up stealing 35 bases that season. And this is when I was living in New York for a bit. I stole 35 bases. I hold the league record. I held the league record that year. I'm pretty sure it's broken by now because that was over 10 years ago. The point I'm trying to make is 7 years ago, September 1st, 2014, I get a phone call from my uncle. I was 16 turning 17. And it was my great-grandmother's birthday. She had just turned 69. And, you know, my grandmother had walked in to the room that I was sleeping in. Well, you know, she saw that I was surrounded by bottles of... Well, I was, like, passed out with a bottle of vodka in my hand. And she woke me up. She goes, "Listen, there's someone that wants to talk to you." So I woke up. I was still blackout, so I really couldn't listen to everything, but I did listen to the last part that he told me. He said, "Kid, I want you to do me a favor. Do you remember what you said to me years ago that... You remember what you told me last time you saw me in person, that you were going to give up?" And I said, "Yeah, I remember that. I was going to give up on baseball." He goes, "Are you still playing?" I go, "Yeah." "There you go. Now, what do you look for in your future?" I said, "I don't know." And he's like, "Wrong answer. I want you to look big in your future. I don't care if you continue to play baseball. I just want you to get big in your future. I want you to get a good job, go to college, finish high school first, go to college, get a good job, make a career out of yourself, make something out of yourself." Little did I know, guys, that was September. 3 months later, he passed away, and I didn't even know that the first words he was telling me in that conversation was that he was dying. That he had diseases and he was dying. And that he didn't want me to go see him because he didn't want that to be a reason for me to give up because of him. Those are the exact words he told me. So, 2 weeks after that conversation, I had a drug problem. I checked into rehab. I come out. This is still September. And you know, I check in, and I stayed there for about 35 days. And I left, went back to school, finished high school. But, you know, when I went back to school, it was 3 months later, 7 years ago to this day, December 8th, 2014, is when I got the call that he had passed away. And, it was right then and there when I wanted to give up on everything that I worked hard for. I worked hard to get back to school because I had gotten kicked out of my school. And I had been clean for 3 months and I was just done. So I wasn't myself after that, but I stayed in the program. I stayed doing the shit that I was taught to do. And I kept doing it. And to this day, 7 years later, he's still my guardian angel. I've, no matter how many mistakes I've made, he still has been and always will be my guardian angel. And for that, Ankh, I want to say thank you. Gracias. Muchas gracias, mi tío. Por ser mi guardia de ángel. La ángel de mi guardia. My guardian angel, he's always looked out for me from up above. The point that my uncle was trying to make was, don't make the same mistakes that I made when I was your age. My uncle was a gambler. He was a gambler. He had a gambling addiction. Led to a lot of financial troubles, which eventually led to his sickness and death. But I'm proud to say that I'm still here. I'm still here because of him. I'm still here because there's a lot of people that are on my side. Allen Iverson once said, there's gonna be a million people that love me and a billion people that hate me. Concentrate on those that care about you and keep stepping. And that's what I've been doing. I have a lot of people that hate my guts right now, that wish I was dead, that wish they never met me. And for those people, y'all can pucker up and kiss me where my cheeks meet, because I'm still here and I'm not going anywhere. I'm still doing what I do best. I'm working my ass off. I'm going to school. The relationship situation, we could talk about that in a later time. Maybe not. But I'm still here and I ain't giving up. I'm still walking. Even though I only got one good leg right now, I'm not 100%, but I'm still fucking walking. And I'm letting all you fucking haters know, I ain't going nowhere. And I know I don't have that many haters, because I have some loyal listeners on this podcast, considering the fact that we just made it international. We started in Boston. And I don't want to say all over the United States, but we're in the United States now. But we're also in Hungary and Australia. And for those loyal people listening to every single episode, even if you haven't, catch up. Because even though all I do is run my mouth about sports and stupid shit, eventually you'll get it. You'll get why. When I really tell you guys my story of how I became Big Drink and why I am Big Drink and why I decided to do this. For the past 7 years, I've been on stage. I've talked to people. I've talked to kids that have gone through what I've gone through. Kids who have parents that have gone through what I've gone through. and just ask, how do you do it? They still ask me to this day. Even though, yeah, my name is Big Drink. Yeah, 9 times out of 10, I'm drinking while I'm doing these episodes. But at least I don't forget where the fuck I came from. Never forget. That's the one thing that I was always taught. Never forget where the fuck you came from. I come from South Boston, Massachusetts. One hell of a town. I know a lot of people out here. I grew up with a lot of people, and quite frankly, only half of them still fuck with me. There's some that are in between, and the others, they could just kiss my ass. So I just want to let you guys know, if you or anyone you know feels how I feel, has dealt with what I have dealt with, you're not alone. You're not alone. Because there's millions and millions of other people that have dealt with the same damn thing. One of these days, I'm gonna make an episode with my pops. And me and him are just gonna talk shit. We're not only just talk shit though, y'all. We're also gonna talk real shit. When I say we're gonna talk real shit, because when I say this, I mean it. My pops grew up in the same town that I grew up in. He grew up right down the street from me, obviously before I was born. He's been through hell and back. It's safe to say he's been through more than I've been through. There's a lot of differences, but there's a lot more similarities. My pops has been through a lot. You know, sometimes I ask him, how did you pull through? How were you able to get back up every time you were knocked down? That's one of the questions I'm gonna ask him. And you guys will be shocked for the answer that he gives. No. For those who don't know where babies come from, obviously, in order to be a daddy, you have to have a mommy. So, yeah, he might talk a little bit about their relationship. Maybe not so much, because he doesn't want to start nothing. But, you know, there's three sides to every story. There's his side, her side, and the truth. So, maybe he will, maybe he won't, talk a little bit about it, you know, how they met, what happened, why he disappeared, why things happened the way they did. I'm not going to get so much into it. What I will say is, I'm grateful I got my pops in my life. I'm grateful for him. He welcomed me to his home, welcomed me into his family. His brothers and sisters love me. His wife loves me. His pets love me. And I love all of them. But enough of the emotional, you know.
Wait.
I know I said this was a personal episode. But I also know a lot of people, and a lot of them happen to be my loyal fans, that are spending the holidays with an empty seat at the table.
I talked about Stormy last week, last episode, excuse me. He lost his uncle last year. He had Thanksgiving without him. This month will be a year since he's lost his uncle. Like I said last episode, and I'll say it right now. Stormy, I love you, buddy. And I'm here for you. We're all here for you on behalf of the social circle. We love you, bro. And I thank you for not only being a loyal listener and being a loyal guest in the podcast, but thank you for being loyal to me. I've known Stormy 14 years now. You met me when I was just a kid. I used to piss him off a lot. And I'm grateful to have him. I'm beyond grateful to call him a brother. A big brother, you know. So to all of you out there who are spending the holidays without a loved one, a friend at the table, I send my sincere condolences to you. And just leave an empty seat because that person is sitting in that seat, enjoying Thanksgiving, enjoying Hanukkah, enjoying Christmas, New Year's, Kwanzaa, whatever you celebrate. And that being said, I'm gonna end this episode today. Stay tuned for tomorrow, though, because we're gonna get down to business. There's a lot I gotta talk about tomorrow. Good topic, and the topic tomorrow is resiliency. So. Hell of a word, hell of a definition. Two definitions I just found out today. And we'll talk more about that tomorrow. Thank you for being loyal. Thank you for being you. Stay loyal, stay social. Most importantly, happy holidays. Love you guys. Peace out.